Now let's finish off the series Faith Unto Faith, and we will cover the last of the Beatitudes. So let's pick it up here in verse 10, Matthew 5. Persecution. And there's already an awful lot of persecution going on in Muslim countries toward those who profess Christianity. All right, let's pick it up here. Verse 10. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now notice what they will do. Here's how the persecution will come. Verse 11. Blessed are you when they shall reproach you, or we can add in there, despise you, and shall persecute you, and shall falsely say every wicked thing against you for my sake. Now Jesus had to go through all of that himself. Now here's what we are to do. And this is the difficult part. And I think that this helps us have the correct attitude and things when it comes along. Remember, they're blinded. Remember, the world is in the grips of Satan the devil. Remember, Satan hates anyone who believes in Christ, whether a true believer or a pseudo-believer, because he knows that Jesus is going to end his rule. So rejoice and be filled with joy, for great is your reward in heaven. And you'll rejoice a whole lot more after when the resurrection comes. For in this same manner they persecuted the prophets who were before you. It's happened in the past. It will happen again. Come here to Matthew 23. Let's see what Jesus said to witness to the scribes and Pharisees. Okay. Let's pick it up here in... Okay. Let's make sure we get the right verse here. Okay, yes, all of this is full of correction for them. Yes, Matthew 23, and let's pick it up here in verse 27. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Now, a hypocrite, in a religious sense, means sanctimonious pretender. For you are like whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful on the outside, but within are full of the bones of the dead and of all uncleanness. Likewise, you also outwardly appear to men to be righteous, but within you're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. And isn't that what happens with the religions, even Christian? Verse 29. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you build the sepulchres of the prophets and adorn the tombs of the righteous, and you say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. So then, Jesus said, you're testifying against yourselves that you are the sons of those who killed the prophets. And as for you, you are filling up the measure of your fathers. Now, remember this. Whenever there is to be a sharp witness, you spare not the words, because you are going against the evil that they are doing. And that becomes a witness to them. And so just before he was arrested and crucified, Jesus was setting the stage here. And remember, this was after the resurrection of Lazarus from the dead. And they were absolutely inflamed against Jesus, which they should not have been. So here is Jesus' final witness to them. Verse 33, you serpents, you offspring of vipers, how shall you escape the judgment of Gehenna? Because of this, behold, I send to you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them you shall kill and crucify, and some of them you shall scourge in your synagogues, and some of them you shall persecute from city to city, so that upon you may come all the righteous blood poured out upon the earth, from the blood of Abel the righteous unto the blood of Zechariah the son of Zacharias, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Truly I say to you, all these things shall come upon this generation. And it did. If you want a really good detailed historical read on the fall of Jerusalem in 70 AD, read the book of Josephus. That was really a terrible carnage of things that happened. Okay, now, let's come back here to Matthew, the 10th chapter. Let's see how we are to conduct ourselves in these things. Let's see what we are to do. Sometimes we are to meet these things head on. Other times we are to get out of the way. Remember when, after Jesus spoke to them there in Luke, the 4th chapter, when he announced that he was the Messiah to them, and he said, this day these things are being fulfilled in your ears. And then he told them about Elijah and the widow woman, and that he didn't go to any of the widows in Israel, but the widow woman in Sidon. And then he said, there were a lot of lepers during the time of Elisha the prophet, and only Naaman, the Syrian general, which conquered Israel, the 10 tribes, was healed of leprosy. So they were so inflamed against him, even in a local synagogue in Nazareth, that they took him out and they were going to throw him down off the side of the cliff. But he escaped out of their hands. And he said, a prophet has no honor in his own country. Now then, he's instructing his disciples. Verse 16 of Matthew, the 10th chapter. Behold, I am sending you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. That is a tremendous skill that is difficult to learn. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils. We'll look at one of those a little later. And they will scourge you in their synagogues. Now, how tender is your back? And I think about this. Do this. Think about this every time you feel sorry for yourself. Now, it's hard for us to conceive what they did to Jesus because it was so absolutely brutal. But we can relate more as to what happened to the Apostle Paul. He said he was beaten with rods 3 times, 39 whacks on the back. And everything that the Apostle Paul went through, okay? So beware, they will do that. And you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a witness to them and to the Gentiles. Now, this is not you paying your way to go see the kings and important people, as some ministers have claimed, but you are brought, like Paul was, as a prisoner. So you can read Acts 24, 25, 26, and see what Paul went through. Now, when they deliver you up, okay, no, it's for a witness to them and the Gentiles. Now, when they deliver you up, do not be anxious about how or what you should speak. There's no way you can rehearse for that. You've got to have it in you and God's Spirit in you. For Jesus said, for in that hour it shall be given to you what you shall speak. Because, see, it's not something that you do. This is what God wants done. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father that speaks in you. Now then he shows how difficult persecution is going to be. Then brother will deliver up brother to death, the father the child, the children will rise up against their parents and have them put to death. I can see that happening today. We're not far from it. Did that not happen during the Second World War? Yes, indeed. Verse 22, and you shall be hated by all for my name's sake. Why is that? Because Satan is going to deceive the whole world, inflame the whole world, inflame everyone. But notice we have some encouragement here. But the one who endures to the end, that one shall be saved. So whatever we have to go through, we go through. And when they persecute you in this city, escape into another. That's what Jesus did. That's what Paul did. For truly I say to you, in no way shall you have completed witnessing to the cities of Israel until the Son of Man has come. So this verse is a prophecy that carries down right to the end. Then he makes a very good point, because a person might say, well, why me, Lord? Couldn't you choose someone else? Verse 24, a disciple is not above his teacher. What did Jesus go through? What did he teach us? Nor a servant above his master. It is sufficient for the disciple that he become as his teacher, and the servant as his master. For if they called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call those of his household? Now, what are we to do in cases like this? He tells us, verse 26, therefore do not fear them. Don't be afraid of them, because there is nothing covered that shall not be uncovered, and there is nothing hidden that shall not be known. And what I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, proclaim upon the housetop. Then he makes this statement here, which is very important to understand. And he gives it so that we can have faith to the end. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but do not have power to destroy the life. Now the King James says soul, but the soul that sins can die. Souls can die. Okay? And the word, the Greek word psuche, is translated life more than it has been translated soul. So I translated it life here. Rather fear him who has the power to destroy both life and body in Gehenna. So we're not to worry. Difficulties will come. If we're wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove, then we'll be able to weave our way through some things, but sooner or later it'll get down to the point you can't. Now let's come to the Gospel of John. All right. Pick it up here, John 15, verse 28. And Jesus gave the warning. Now, what happened to all the apostles? They were martyred, with the exception of the apostle John. Okay? John 15 and verse 18. If I said 28, there aren't 28 verses. So it's 18. Okay. After he commands them in verse 17, these things I command you, to love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Oh, they would welcome you with open arms. However, because you are not of the world, but I have personally chosen you out of the world hates you for this. Remember the word that I spoke to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they kept my word, they will keep your word also. But they will do these things to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me, yet they pretend and claim that they do. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have had sin. But now they have nothing to cover their sin. The one who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no other man has done, they would not have had sin. But now They have both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this has happened so that the saying might be fulfilled which is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. Now, this is why God sends his Holy Spirit. Verse 26. But when the Comforter has come, which I will send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of the truth, which proceeds from the Father, that one shall bear witness of me. Then you also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Then he becomes very straightforward with them concerning what was going to happen. Chapter 16 and verse 1. I have spoken these things to you so that you may not be offended. They shall cast you out of the synagogues. Furthermore, the time is coming that everyone who kills you will think that he is rendering service to God. Now hold your place here and let's come back to Isaiah 66 for just a minute. Now, a lot of us have already experienced some of these things even in the churches of God. Imagine that, churches of God persecuting other people in churches of God. Isaiah 66. Okay? And just like we find as we're going back to Isaiah 66, in the third epistle of John, they were casting brethren out of the church. Okay? Now here, Isaiah 66 and verse 5. Hear the word of the Lord, you who tremble at his word, your brethren who hated you. So we've seen those things too in the church, false ministers, false brethren, persecution. Your brethren who hated you, who cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified. Well, I've been disfellowshipped 3 times. And they said, let the Lord be glorified, but he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. So it's going to happen. Jesus said in the synagogues, well, happening in the churches. Now let's come back to John 16 and let's continue on. So let's understand what's going to happen here, and let's see what Jesus has warned us about. Oh, it's on. Sorry about that. I didn't get the switch off. Okay. There it is. Yeah. I'll have you edit that out. Because it's a stop you can back up and take out. Okay. Huh? Sorry about that. Okay. Now verse 4. Okay. Now verse 4. But I have told you these things so that when the time comes, you may remember that I said them to you. However, I did not say these things to you at the beginning because I was with you. But now I'm going to him who sent me, and none of you asked me, where are you going? So then he talks about sending the Holy Spirit again. Come down here to verse 32. Listen, the time is coming and is already come, that you shall be scattered each to his own. And boy, that sure happened to the church today, hasn't it? Yes. And you shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I've spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. So that ties in with peacemaking and persecution and so forth. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be courageous. I have overcome the world. So we can overcome the world as well. Okay? Now let's look at an instance here of some real persecution. Let's come to Acts, the 7th chapter. Now this is where Stephen was brought before the Sanhedrin. And he gave a powerful witness to them. And notice how they reacted. And this was a real central point in the situation concerning the church. Now, the Sanhedrin itself had a good number of very powerful witnesses given to them. And here is the most powerful right here with Stephen. So let's pick it up here in verse 48. Because this was a prophecy to them of the destruction of the temple. And that's what he was accused of doing, speaking things against the law of Moses and speaking against the temple. So let's pick it up here in verse 48. However, the Most High does not dwell in temples made by hands, as the prophet says. The heaven is my throne, and the earth is a footstool for my feet. What house will you build for me, says the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Have not my hands made all these things? Now notice when there comes a time to say it. It needs to be said. O stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did, so also do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the righteous one, of whom you have become the betrayers and murderers. Now remember, Peter and the apostles were hauled before the Sanhedrin twice, and they told them that this man was healed in the name of Christ, and there's no other name under heaven given by which you must be saved. And then when they locked him up again, they locked him up and they escaped out of the prison. The angel came and let them out, and they were early in the morning teaching in the temple area. And the whole Sanhedrin came together. Now remember, go back and look at the witness that Jesus gave to them. Now after his resurrection, here's what the apostles witnessed to them twice. And in the last one, they commanded them, after beating them, not to speak any more in his name. And they said, we are obligated to obey God and not men. So there comes a time when it has to be said. So notice how Stephen did it here. O stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so also do you. Which of the prophets did not your fathers persecute, and they killed those who foretold the coming of the righteous one, of whom you have become the betrayers and murderers? Who received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. No, they were following their own traditions. Verse 53 here. Instead of the laws of God. And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. And they gnashed their teeth at him. They just looked at him with the most hateful look and gnashing their jaws together. But he, being filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Now, God intended this to be. When the persecution comes, God intends it to come. And when the martyrdom comes, God intends it to come. And he said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Oh, what a blasphemous thing to say to those scribes and Pharisees and priests and Levites. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed upon him with one accord, cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man called Saul. And they stoned Stephen, who called upon God, saying, notice what he said. The same way that Jesus said of those that crucified him, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Notice what Stephen said. He said, Lord, receive my spirit. And he fell to his knees and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not lay this sin to their charge. And after he said this, he died. Now, that is a fantastic witness for us to understand. So, whenever you get to thinking things are troublesome and difficult, whether it be at work, whether it be at home, whether it be in the church, whether it be your relatives, whether it be your sons or your daughters, whatever it is, You're not the first one. Not maybe the first time for you, but you're not the first one. All right, let's come here to 2 Timothy, the second chapter. 2 Timothy, the second chapter. Now, Paul went through a lot of difficult circumstances. I think that would be good if we go back and read some of those. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 13. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 13. But wicked men and impostors shall become worse and worse, deceiving others and deceiving themselves. Oh, verse 12. But indeed, everyone who desires to live godly in Christ Jesus shall be persecuted. Then he talks about all the persecution that he went through, even left for being stoned. And when society comes apart, they look for scapegoats. And the scapegoats always end up being those who are Christians. Let's come here to 2 Thessalonians, the 11th chapter. Let's just take a look and review what the Apostle Paul went through. Chapter 11. Okay? So let's pick it up here in verse 17. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 17. Okay? 2 Corinthians 11. Oh, Thessalonians? Okay. Sorry about that. Okay. 2 Corinthians. We've got to get the right city. Okay. Verse 17. What I am now saying, I do not speak according to the Lord, but as in foolishness, in confidence, in this confidence of boasting. Since many boast according to the flesh, I will also boast. For since you are so intelligent, you gladly bear with fools. For you bear it, if anyone brings you into bondage, if anyone devours you, if anyone takes from you, if anyone exalts himself, if anyone beats you on the face. I speak as though we were under reproach for being weak. But in whatever was anyone else, where anyone else is bold, I speak in foolishness. I am also bold. Now notice what he went through. You talk about one man against the world. Now a lot of us, the churches of God today, have gone through a lot of things. And sometimes we get to feeling sorry for ourselves and feeling alone and all of this sort of thing. But let's see what the Apostle Paul went through. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they the servants of Christ? I'm speaking as if I were out of my mind. So am I. Above and beyond measure. In labor, more abundance. In stripes, above measure. In imprisonments, more frequent. In deaths, often. 5 times from the Jews, I received, not 3 times, but 5 times, I received 40 stripes less one. Yeah, that was with the cattail, 5 times. With rods, 3 times, I was right. Verse 25, 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned and left for dead. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I spent into the deep. Imagine what that was like. Here you are in the ocean and you're clinging on to some shipwreck piece of the ship. There you are all alone. A night and a day. I imagine his prayers were, oh Lord, help me, save me. Of course, there's always friendly little sharks swimming around. Okay. Night and a day I spent in the deep. Think about that the next time you're on a trip and you end up with a hard mattress. Okay? I've been in journeyings often, in perils of rivers, because you have to cross them, sometimes there's no bridge, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own race, in perils from the Gentiles. Look what happened when he converted so many people in Ephesus, that they were bringing all of their occult charms and books and burning them. And so the idol makers set up a riot, and they were going to kill Paul. Okay? In perils in the city, in perils in the desert, in perils on the sea, in perils among false brethren. If that isn't enough, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness. Well, that was just his personal circumstances he had to go through. Then on top of it, all of this was dumped on him. Verse 28, besides all these things from the world outside, pressing on me daily is the care of all the churches. So the Apostle Paul really had to go through it, didn't he? Quite a thing. Yes, indeed, there will be persecution against us again today. All right. Now, let's come back to Matthew 5, and we'll finish here. We won't go into any more gory details. Those will come soon enough. Now, you have to be wise. Don't do like one woman in the church who came home and found a robber in her house. She chased him out, and he left. She should have stopped right there and thanked God. She ran after him and got herself in really deep trouble. So when God delivers you, don't tempt him by running out and making the problem worse. All right? Now, here's the attitude that we need to have. Matthew 5, verse 43. Okay? Matthew 5, verse 43. And you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Now, here is the strongest test of character. Jesus did this. Stephen did this. I don't know the circumstances of any of the other apostles, but I'm sure they did the same thing. Okay? He says, verse 44, I say to you, love your enemies. Now, how do you love your enemies? That's a difficult one, isn't it? Now, you've heard of several cases, and I recall one, it was somewhere down south, I think it was in Atlanta, where this woman came home, and a man came in to rob her and rape her. And she got down on her knees and was praying to Jesus, oh Lord, save me. And something happened to that man's violent attitude. And he also got down on his knees and prayed. So you never know what's going to happen. Now, I think they did arrest him and put him in jail for the situation. But that was something. See? Another way you love your enemies, stay away from them. Another way you love your enemies, he says here, bless those that curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who despitefully use and persecute you. Did Jesus do all of these things? Yes, he did. Are we to do the same thing? Yes, we are. So that you yourselves may be the children of your Father who is in heaven, for he causes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not the tax collectors practice the same thing? And if you salute your brethren only, what have you done that is extraordinary? Do not the tax collectors practice the same thing? Therefore, you shall be perfect. That's the whole goal in all of this, you see. Even as your Father who is in heaven is perfect. So this is why we are to rejoice, count persecution joy, pray for those who bring it upon us, ask God to intervene, and we look forward to the reward that comes when Christ returns. Now, all of this is contrary to human nature. That's why these are also the fruits of the Spirit. And it doesn't make you a sissy. It doesn't make you weak. Actually, it makes you strong in the Lord. And so when the time comes, the persecution comes, we ask God for wisdom, understanding, love, strength of witness, speak what God wants to be spoken, and what happens, happens, but there is the resurrection, and nothing can defeat us. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.